God bless you, Michelle. Thank you so much for that. Well, I'm excited to have the opportunity this evening to preach to you. I know it's hot in here, and my mouth is going to make it hotter, so I won't be long this evening, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you tonight, and I count it a great privilege to work with you all. My wife and I get to work with the junior church and do lots of things, and love the opportunity that God has given us to work hand in hand here. And I say, if you're visiting or if you're watching online, please come back when Pastor is preaching. And I know that'll be a great blessing to you. Tonight I want to look into Ruth chapter number 1 just a little bit. I've preached this long ago, several years ago, but I think the truth of God's Word is timeless. And I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that's going to need the message. Tonight I want to preach to somebody who's discouraged. How many of you have ever been discouraged in your life before? Yes. I want to talk to the person that perhaps they're thinking about throwing in the towel. Things have gotten difficult. Things have gotten too hard. And perhaps they say it's just not worth it to follow the Lord. I want you to know tonight it is always worth it to follow the Lord. God is always faithful. And because He is faithful and He is living, we can be faithful as well. But for the soul that is weary, that is going through a hard time tonight, I want you to listen. And even if you're going through a great time right now, as we know, as the book of Job says, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In other words, if you're not discouraged right now, either you're just coming out of discouragement or you're soon about to go into discouragement. So the Word of God tonight in the book of Ruth is for all of us. And so let me encourage you tonight to stay the course, be faithful, and don't quit. Ruth chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a what? A famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." If you're in the habit of marking things, underlining things in your Bible, I have underlined in my Bible, "a famine in the land." And then I have these two words underlined, "sojourn" in verse number 2, verse number 1, and then in verse number 2, the word "continued." I want you to take note of those. But we come to this very famous book in the Word of God tonight. Your Old Testament is set up in a way. You have five books. You have the Pentateuch, five books there. Then you have 12 historical books. And a lot of times as we go through the historical books, that's Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and so forth. Every now and again, you have a book that kind of takes a sidestep, kind of puts a highlight of something that's going on in history. I want you to consider the times that the book of Ruth was written in. We find from verse number 1 that the book of Ruth takes place during the time of the judges. As a matter of fact, probably a page over for you, or just on the same page even, in verse 25 of the last chapter of the book of Judges, the Bible says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." They were living in a very spiritually dark time in the book of Ruth, through the book of Judges. It was one of the lowest points spiritually in the history of the nation of Israel. People did that which was right in their own eyes. As a matter of fact, in the beginning of the book of Judges, it says that there arose a generation which knew not the Lord. The people didn't know His works. The people didn't know His judgments. They didn't know His word. And people did that which was right in their own eyes. Let me say tonight, that is a dangerous, low place to be when you do what you think is right in your own eyes and you act separate from the Word of God. Sin happens when we act independently from what thus saith the Lord. And here in the book of Ruth, there's a people that is going through a great famine. That is the times that they're living in. Consider the territory, not only the time, but the territory. Bethlehem, Judah was the place that they were living in. Of course, Bethlehem, Judah means the house of bread. I like me some bread. Bread's a good thing. It was the place that was supposed to be a place of provision. It was a place that was a place of promise. It was a place of God's provision. It was a place where they could go, where they could trust the Lord. All was well. But what happens tonight when the house of bread becomes the house of trial? What happens when the house of bread, there's no bread? That's a problem. I went to Subway one time. I said, I'd like to get a sub. They said, we don't have no bread. What? How does that happen? The house of bread had no bread for them to eat. That's a problem. That's the place that they were at. The time it was a time where people did that which was right in their own eyes. The place, it was a house of bread. It was supposed to be a place of promise. It was supposed to be a place of provision and of God's presence. But there was no bread, no provision. And there was great trouble. There was a sore famine in the land. Even the house of bread can become a house of trial and of testing. Even a place of promise and provision can at times be a place of waiting and confusion. The very place that represented the place of God's presence became a time for some that wondered if God was still working, if God was still there. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you wonder where God is and what He's doing? God is always working. God is always present. But there are times when we wonder. There are times when we can't understand. There are times in our own lives when, yes, we go through a spiritual famine. We might go through different times of discouragement, but I wonder tonight, is there anybody here that finds themselves in their own personal famine? Is there anybody that's struggling? If there's anybody here tonight that would feel like things are getting tough and things are getting hard and things are getting discouraging and things are just so difficult, why should I keep on trusting the Lord? Why should I keep on going? It feels like God could be a million miles away. You're going through your own personal famine. I want to encourage you tonight. There's two men in the story that we learn of. We learn of Elimelech, and then we learn of a man by the name of Boaz. Both of them went through the same famine. They went through similar circumstances, yet there are two different decisions that are made and two very different outcomes. One person that decided to flee and one person that decided to stay faithful. I hope tonight that you will choose to be faithful. Choose to trust, choose to wait on God, choose to have faith and to trust God and His Word as was sung just a moment ago. So I want to preach tonight for the next few moments, famine in the land. Let's pray together, may we? Lord, I need you tonight. I pray that you take your word and use it as you promised. Help us, Lord. Help me. And we'll thank you for it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to, first of all, tonight, consider the famine that is in the land. Look at verse number 1 again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. There was this famine in the land. I read just a moment ago, in those days that there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The backdrop of the story of the book of Ruth was one of the most spiritually dark times in the nation of Israel. And I remind you, have you ever been in a low spiritual time in your own personal life? There are times where we don't get anything out of our Bible reading. At least I know I'm not the only one. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, it almost seems like we could be going through the motions. We read it because, man, that's what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we read and we don't get anything out of it. And we start to go through this dry spell and reading the Word of God. And sometimes we neglect it altogether. It's a dry time that we go through. There are times, at least when I know for me, I can't speak for everybody, but there are times when I feel that prayers fail to reach above the ceiling. They come back, bouncing back off the roof and come back towards me. There are times that getting up for church and doing the spiritual disciplines can seem more like a chore than a labor of love. Listen, it was a dry time in the nation of Israel. It was a time that was a physical famine, and it was a time that it was a spiritual famine. There are times when we do things for the Lord, and it seems more like we're doing it out of doing it as a duty rather than doing it because we love God. You ever been to that place where life seems like a rut? One preacher said a rut is nothing more than a grave with the ends knocked out of it. You ever feel like you've been going through the motions? It's a dry time in the nation of Israel. The dry spell turned into a spell of discouragement. There was discouragement manifested. We noted just a moment ago how many of you have ever been discouraged, and many of you raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, either you're lying or you haven't been living long enough to be discouraged. But discouragement comes to all of us. I want you to know tonight that discouragement can be one of the greatest tools that the devil uses in the life of the believer.
The devil likes to try to destroy the life of the believer. We said in messages past that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to make your influence for Christ disappear. He doesn't like you that you're in church tonight. He doesn't like that you read your Bible. He doesn't like that you pray. He doesn't like that you try to win people to the Lord. And the devil is going to try to destroy you. And the world and the flesh of the devil are going to try to destroy you. And the devil tries to distract you. And the devil tries to discourage you. It was a dry time. It was a discouraging time in the nation of Israel. There was disappointment manufactured. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been praying for something for a very long time. Perhaps there are prayers that were not answered the way that you thought they should have been answered. Maybe you were praying for a breakthrough and that breakthrough never came, and you're disappointed and you're discouraged and you feel like you've just been spinning your wheels. You're in a physical and spiritual famine. There's a famine in the land. Are you there tonight? I want to encourage you. There was disappointment. There was discouragement. There was dryness. There was decisions that were going to be made. By the way, this is for free tonight. If you ever find yourself in a place where you're discouraged, where you're spiritually low, that's never a good time to make a big decision. It's never a good time to make a big decision when you're depressed, when you're discouraged, when you're low. Wait until you come through that valley. But there were decisions to be made. Think about Mahlon and Chilion, Elimelech here in verse number 1, verse number 2. Somewhere along the way, they thought this place was supposed to be the house of bread. There's just one problem. There's no bread. What are we supposed to do? This place is not what it should be. Living this life is not worth the cost of the famine. And Elimelech is going to decide, we need to go somewhere else. We're gonna leave the house of bread. We're going to go somewhere else. We find that they went to the land of Moab. That was actually one of the nation of Israel's. At that time, it was one of their greatest oppressors. We're going to leave the house of bread and we're going to go to an oppressor. We're going to go to somebody that has been hurting the nation of Israel, somebody that's made it very difficult for the nation of Israel. We're going to go that way. They're going to make this decision. They're going to flee. They're going to forsake. There was a famine in the land. They were about to make a decision that was about to change everything. Consider the famine. Number two, consider their fleeing. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 1 again. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass that the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn." I want you to underline that word sojourn. "In the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." What happens in your life when the house of bread becomes the house of trial and testing? They devised this plan in verse number 1. They said, "We're going to sojourn in the country of Moab. We're going to go." This word sojourn, I want you to take note of it tonight. Sojourn is a word that means we're just going for a little time. It's going to be a short trip. Hey, we're going to leave the house of bread. We're going to leave Bethlehem, Judah. We're just going to leave. But it's only going to be for just a short time. We're going to come back. We're going to gather up everything. We're going to go over to this place, Moab, and we're going to find a work. We're going to find jobs. We're going to find all those different types of things. And it's only going to be just for a short time. Let's get real tonight. If you think about Elimelech, he's the man of the house, and he's got to make decisions that affect his entire family. Can I say tonight that this is not necessarily a bad decision, it's a logical decision. Hey, I've got to feed my family. How many of you know that that's a very important thing to do? I've got mouths to feed, and there's no food here. I've got to go where the food is. That's a logical decision. But listen tonight, not every logical decision is a spiritual decision. Not every logical decision is a spiritual decision. You've got to ask God for discernment. You've got to get in His Word. You've got to seek counsel. Not every logical decision is a spiritual decision. And let me just say tonight that living by faith is never logical, it seems. Living by faith is never logical. Living by faith is never comfortable. And living by faith is never negotiable. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And here's the decision they make. We're just going to go for just a little while, and then we're going to come back. That was the plan that they devised. It's just going to be a short trip. They thought the grass was greener on the other side. The grass is not always greener, and if it is, many times it's fake turf or there's a lot of manure involved. The grass is not always greener on the other side. The plan might have been logical, but it was not spiritual. And it reminds me tonight, again, faith is not logical, not comfortable, but it is not negotiable. It brought them down a dangerous path. Look at verse number 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And watch this now. Remember, in verse 1, they were sojourning at the end of verse number 2. And they came into the country of Moab, and what? They continued. What happened to the plan? Hey, we're only going to go for just a little bit. We're only going to go for just a little while. We're going to go with the idea, hey, that we're coming back. We're only just going to be in Moab, the land of the oppressors, for just a little bit. We're going to see what they have. Maybe there's a job there for us, and maybe there's food over there for us that we can enjoy. It's just going to be for a little bit. But we find here's what happened, and this is what happens in the lives of many believers that think they're going to take a break from church or they're going to take a break from reading their Bible. They had this idea that we're just going to go for a little bit, but what happened? They started to continue there. What was supposed to be a short trip turned into a destination for their lives. That's what happens in the lives of believers when we think, oh, I'm just going to take a little break from church, or I'm going to stop reading the Bible. The more you don't read the Bible, the more you won't read the Bible. The more you don't go to church, the more you won't go to church. They started to sojourn a short trip. But what happened is they ended up continuing there. And then not only did they devise this plan, not only was it a dangerous path, but we find there was death in that place. Look at verse number 3. Let's see what happens. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Verse number 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. That sounds a little bit longer than sojourning, doesn't it? Verse number 5. It gets worse. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. They lived in destitution. This was the worst case scenario that you could ever have. What started as a difficult time in the house of bread in Bethlehem, Judah, there they were. Things got hard. Things got difficult. They decided, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go to a place, a logical decision, but not a spiritual decision. They got out of the place. They went to Moab, and they were just going to be there for a short while. But what ended up being a short while, they continued for 10 years, and one by one, Elimelech dies, and Mahlon dies, and Chilion dies, and Naomi is left all by herself. Destruction. One decision affected an entire family. Your decisions are not your own. They affect your family. They affect those that are around you. It's a dangerous place out of their devised plan. You know, I often think about it. The story could have been much different, couldn't it? What if? We like to ask that question. What if they decided to stay? What if they stayed and they decided to tough it out? What if it was a totally different story? We wouldn't be reading it in the book of Ruth tonight. Consider another man in the story. We consider the famine, consider the fleeing, but consider somebody, third of all, who was faithful. Look at Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? There was somebody, as we said before, somebody that went through the same famine, somebody that went through the same circumstances, somebody that went through the same dry spell, somebody that went through the discouraging spell, somebody that perhaps was disappointed, somebody that went through the exact same circumstance that Elimelech went through, but he decided to stay. Boaz. We find that there was somebody that was faithful, somebody that decided that they weren't going to quit. Listen, tonight, we don't need any more people to get out of the race. We're in a real warfare, and there's real casualties happening, and we need people. God, help me to be faithful. Let us be faithful Christian people that follow the Lord, that trust His Word. Be faithful. Boaz made a different choice. He was faithful. I want you to know tonight that being a faithful Christian in any given circumstance is a choice that you make.
You can choose to quit. You can choose to throw in the towel. You can choose to check out of the game. You can choose to put in for retirement, so to speak. Or you can choose to keep trusting. Or you can choose to wait on God. Or we can choose to keep on going. We can choose faithfulness. Sometimes you have to make the choice to keep on going. You have to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. You have to choose Christ. You have to choose His Word, no matter what the circumstances. And Boaz was somebody that chose to remain faithful. Think about people through the Scriptures that remained faithful. Joseph remained faithful despite the pit and the prison. Moses was faithful in the wilderness for 40 years when nobody knew his name. Jeremiah remained faithful despite preaching and having no converts. Daniel was faithful to God despite the pressure and the threat of the lion's den. We ought to remain faithful, steadfast, always abounding in the work of God. Don't quit tonight. Don't quit. I've had people in recent days that I've looked up to, no longer in the race. Your decision and my decision to quit on God hurts other people. Lord, help us to be faithful. Consider faithfulness. Lastly tonight, and then I'm done, consider fruitfulness. We considered the famine. We considered the fleeing. We considered Boaz and his faithfulness. Let us consider tonight his fruitfulness. Look again, Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." We find tonight that fruit is a product of faithfulness. Fruit is a product of faithfulness. It takes time, doesn't it? Being faithful in this Christian life, there are waiting periods that we must go through. I love what the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. There's patience that we have to endure. There's waiting periods where we're waiting on God to answer, or we're waiting on God to direct our steps. But if we can be faithful and if we can trust God, if we can do these things, eventually the faithfulness is going to turn into fruitfulness. This man Boaz, in a time of famine, had a vineyard. We find that Boaz eventually, God works all things together for good to them that love Him. Of course, Boaz is blessed with a woman named Ruth. Boaz and Ruth are a picture of redemption for us today. Boaz and Ruth are in a family tree of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome. Way down the line, the Son of God is in their genealogy. But that fruit only comes from being faithful. I remember, wasn't planning on telling the story, but I remember Brother Charlie Hatcher was getting ordained. And Pastor, I don't know if you remember this, but it was in the old building. And we were standing off by that door that you used to come out of before every service started. And we were talking about Brother Charlie and him getting ordained, how exciting. And he looked at me, and Pastor did, and he said, "Hey, that could be you one day if you're faithful." And I've never forgotten that. If you are faithful. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be faithful. There was a famine. There were choices that were made to flee, but there were choices that were made to be faithful that turned into fruitfulness. What are you supposed to do with all that? I want to remind you tonight that famines can and will come into your life. If you're not in one, you're coming out of one, or you're about to go in one. That's just the way that sometimes that life works. It's up and down and all around. There's an interesting truth about the famine tonight. Famines are temporary seasons. Think about this, the famine in the book of Ruth was not even a whole chapter long. It was only a part of the story. Maybe you're tonight in a discouraging time, you're in a time of your own personal famine, but let me remind you tonight, seasons come and seasons go, seasons ebb and seasons flow. You think there's no way out tonight? There's no way this could get any better? That's where Elimelech was. There's no way that this is going to get any better. I have to get out of this. No, no. It is a season of life. The season's not even a chapter long here in the account of Ruth. So be faithful. Famines tonight are an opportunity to be faithful, to trust God, and to not go off to Moab. I was talking to somebody the other day. I just don't feel God near me. And I've been doing some reading on that. I don't feel God's presence. One famous preacher said that to his mom. He said, "Mom, I wish I could feel God's presence all the time. Oh, that would be so wonderful. That would be amazing if I could just feel God's presence all the time." And this mother hushed her son and she said, "Hold on just a second. Sometimes it could be good if we don't feel God's presence." Because why? Because that gives you the opportunity and me the opportunity to do what? To live by faith. Enduring as seeing that which is invisible. Isn't this life a life of faith? Lord, help us to be faithful. We considered the famine, the fleeing. We considered somebody who was faithful. And then that turned into fruitfulness. Let me encourage you tonight. Be faithful. Trust God. Trust His Word. And He's going to bring you through every time. God's people said? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. We'll have our invitation. Lord, thank you so much for the power of the Word of God. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the victory. I pray for the soul tonight that's perhaps discouraged. Please, Lord, bring them to yourself. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment here. I wanted tonight, I'd just like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're here tonight, you say, "Brother Kevin, I know that I'm a believer. If I died tonight, that I know that I would have a home in heaven. Jesus is my Savior. But I needed this reminder that, yes, times get hard, but you can trust God through it." If you're here tonight, if you needed the message, I'd love to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up in the air with mine? God bless you. Hands all over the place. Maybe tonight you say, "Brother Kevin, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian." I want you to know tonight that Jesus died to wash away your sins. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. Jesus died to cleanse you from your sin. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Kevin, I'm not 100% sure that if I died tonight, I would go to heaven." I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you tonight, would you just raise your hand so I could pray for you? All right. Lord, I pray tonight that you would bless this invitation. Lord, help us to not quit. Thank you that Jesus carried that heavy cross all the way to Calvary for us. He didn't quit. Help us, Lord, not to quit before the race is over. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.